93HL with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
HL on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, they call me the mayor. Don Davenport, we call her Babs. JT, his real name is Jordan Tinkle. You didn't know that. With you until 5:30 today, Tennessee at Florida. Vol Network coverage begins at 5:30. Two names I keep hearing with regard to the AD search today, pretty consistently, John Gilbert at East Carolina. And Mark Ingram, who is at UAB. Keep hearing those two names. Now, Scott Carter is a name that's been thrown out there from ETSU. Gerald Harrison from Austin Peay. David Blackburn from Middle Tennessee. I think it's going to be pretty quick as to what they get done with the AD. And then they hire a coach. I will say this. I was thinking about it during the break. It really feels like, and no one's told me this, because, again, AD is going to make the hire. There's no AD yet. So, you know, any name you hear is pure speculation at this point. But I was thinking. Caden Salter, the quarterback, one of the top mobile quarterbacks in the country, four-star quarterback, says he's staying, he's in. You know, you get the transfer quarterback from Virginia Tech, who's a dual threat guy. Kevin Steele comes on this. It feels like if this is a movie and we're just watching it play out, that Gus Malzahn's the guy to me, right? Because you've got Kevin Steele, you know, they get along. Perfect. You've got two quarterbacks that fit his system. You're not buying it.
No, I am absolutely buying the Gus Malzahn to Tennessee.
It just feels like it.
Absolutely buying that. Because let me point this out. This is coming from obviously Auburn alum who said,
"You're a Gus girl. You've got a t-shirt."
I'm a Gus girl. Yes, I'm absolutely I'm a Gus bus girl. I was not on the same page as some Auburn fans about getting rid of him. The guy, when he runs his own offense and doesn't give up play calling, the guy does well offensively. I think you can say, okay, here and there's some struggle when it comes to quarterback development. Maybe you make sure that you have a top-notch quarterbacks coach in place. But absolutely, if you're a Tennessee fan, I mean, you look across the board. Who are some of the coaches that have figured out how to beat Nick Saban? Hugh Freeze, he ain't coming. Hugh Freeze is going to be at Liberty. Gus Malzahn is another one. Gus has figured out how to beat Alabama and how to beat Nick Saban. Now, the only thing I will say is, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, would you be happy with a Gus Malzahn, Kevin Steele kind of, you know, here, let's just take Auburn's rethreads. I don't think that Gus Malzahn. Yeah, but let me say this. I don't think Gus Malzahn and Kevin Steele are buddies.
No, but they work well together.
I don't think that they work well together anymore.
Okay, well.
I think right. that
you're
that
throwing
that
darts
is,
into my thing.
Only that part of your, that's the only part I'm throwing darts into is, but I am certainly not throwing darts into Gus being at Tennessee.
Well,
if
I think
you're a Tennessee
ultimately,
fan, are you happy with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045. I started thinking about this. I didn't love Gus at Auburn because of the inconsistencies. But when I did love Gus is when he was calling his plays.
Yes.
So if I'm Tennessee, look, I'm going to have to give you this enormous buyout. I'm going to pay you more than what we probably should. But here's what I want from you. Your signed guarantee that you're calling your plays. I don't want to see anybody else come on campus giving the play sheet. I don't want that. If it's Gus Malzahn.
Can we also say this? I don't think that you necessarily have to overpay for Gus Malzahn at this point.
No, you probably don't because he's already making a bunch of money at Auburn. You're right.
And how much do we know about Gus? Obviously, Mickey worked with him at Arkansas State. We used to work with Mickey on our show. You know, obviously, I've covered Auburn. He's been at Auburn for a long time. I have seen and talked to Coach Malzahn a bunch. Here's what we do know about Gus Malzahn. He's a football coach. He always has been, starting from his days in high school when he's making $10,000 a year to coach. And that's what he does. Gus Malzahn is not going to be okay with sitting out and not coaching. It doesn't matter how much money he makes. You know, some of these guys are just cut from a different cloth. Gus Malzahn is not going to be okay with not coaching this year and being done and going out like that with everything that happened to Auburn. Mm-mm, no way. Gus wants to get back in it, I'm sure. Now, Gus wanting to get back in it, if you want to get back in it in the SEC, is there a better job than Tennessee? Because I will sit here and say, it's a dumpster fire there. But if you're Gus Malzahn, don't you think you can step in and make a difference there? And yeah, your point, your quarterbacks that you have on the roster seem to fit what you do offensively.
Yeah. Now, Harrison Bailey, Brian Maurer, probably odd man out, and they might be anyway. But I'm still on the Lane train. I think Lane Kiffin and Kevin Steele would work really well together. But I just started thinking about that with the quarterbacks they have, with Caden Salter saying he's staying and Virginia Tech transfer coming in, that kind of fit what Gus likes to do. I just, from a Tennessee perspective, if he's the guy, I would want him calling the plays. That's for sure. So Doering said on SEC network analyst, Chris Doering, who played at Florida, was unbelievable wide receiver there. Went on satellite radio, Sirius XM, College Sports, XM, and said this about Gus Malzahn to Tennessee potentially.
What you need is something opposite of what you've had recently. You've had a defensive coordinator from the Saban tree. It has not worked out. The Saban tree has not necessarily worked out at a lot of places in the SEC. What you need is a proven commodity in the SEC, a guy that's shown he can beat Nick Saban. Well, that guy used to coach at Auburn, Alabama, was fired there unceremoniously. Gus Malzahn has not been appreciated for what he's been able to accomplish in this league. He is a perfect guy for Tennessee, right? He's everything that the previous coaching staff was not. He's an offensive guy, an innovative guy offensively. He's a guy that's coached as a head coach, not only in the Power 5, but in the SEC. He's had success against Nick Saban, the best record of any opposing coach that has been recently active when it comes to beating Nick Saban. And I think he's a guy that actually would take the job. I think he would love to have the opportunity to run the Tennessee program. I'm not sure a lot of other coaches would fall into that category right now. So I think he's a guy that you can go get and you can build a program that you can be proud of. He's shown that he can do it the right way. He doesn't necessarily – I don't remember ever hearing his name in a conversation about doing things that are adverse to what the NCAA rules are. So – it makes a lot of sense, man.
I mean, it kind of does.
So true.
Yeah.
It does. I'm just curious if Tennessee fan is good with it, would be good with that hire.
I mean, Gus Malzahn did lose to Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
At home.
With really bad beat up offensive line and Jarrett Garantano at quarterback. Yep, I worked that game.
You did indeed. Let's go to the phone, yeah. See what the peeps are saying. 615-737-1045. I do have a list of names that may enter the portal, according to John Dunn, a reporter in Knoxville, that Austin Price retweeted. I've got that for you. Stay tuned. Scott, next up on 3HL. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Hi there. Hey, I called in to talk about Lane Kiffin a little bit, but you got me thinking while I was on hold about Gus and the whole Auburn thing. My understanding is Steele now, Gus feels like he got stabbed in the back by Steele and that they would not work together anymore. There's bad feelings. And then the other thing I wanted to ask Don real quick before I mention Lane Kiffin, if I have a chance, is why haven't they had a successful passing offense? I mean, it seems to me like Gus has always had, other than the Cam Newton year, right, they've been a running team with Nick Marshall, but their passing game hasn't been good, any year that he's been there. Am I wrong? I don't follow Auburn as much. Is that wrong? And then I'd like to talk about Lane.
He needs a quarterback that can run. Like Gus's whole offense early on, everybody thought he threw the ball around and then used the quarterback to get chunk plays in the run game. But right. Ultimately, he wants balance, Don. He wants like complete balance.
Yes, and. Everything starts with the run for him. That's how his offense goes. So yeah, I mean, that's initially, that's how they get to their plays. That's what he wants. And the whole Kevin Steele comment that you made, you are absolutely right. Those two will never coach together again.
Yeah. I forgot about the whole coup thing. Like, yeah, I erased the coup from my memory. So yeah, that's probably not a good
idea. Yeah. Yeah. They ain't going to work together there. You're right about that. So Kevin Steele and Gus Malzahn are not friends. All right. You got,
the Gus thought on that part of the equation. But can I just talk about Lane for a second? Because I'm a lifelong Raider fan and Tennessee Vol fan, and Lane is the guy. We all meet people in life that are never happy, and that things don't ever end well with. To me, Lane is that guy, right? If you want a guy who's going to help you for a year or two or whatever, and get you maybe excited for a year or two, that's fine, right? But it's never going to end well. And here's what I mean by that. It doesn't end well because the guy's so immature that he's his own worst enemy. And here's my example. Even if he comes to Tennessee, which, by the way, in order to do that, he has to do to Mississippi what he did to Tennessee. He has to leave, and he's not going to argue this is his dream job, at least honestly, right? So he comes here, he turns it around. Even if he did, in a year, he's going back to USC, which is his dream job still, or he's going to run to the NFL. And then, and I don't think Tennessee has the appetite right now to say, hey, we're going to look out the other way on some of the stuff that happened while Lane was there. You know, maybe he's grown up, but, you know, I just don't know that they have the appetite to take that risk. I understand they want to win, but to me, your argument for Gus is a stronger argument, but I understand the fan base really wants the Kiffin excitement and the Kiffin offense.
Here's what I hear about Lane. You talk to him more than I do, but here's what I hear about Lane is that he has matured. And I hear that from a lot of people. The thing that I wonder about with him is, because Chris Lowe says this all the time, and he has said it for a long time, Chris Lowe with ESPN.com, who covers college football. He says, Monty Kiffin says they should have stayed. So I wonder if they're in the back of Lane's mind, there's some sense of regret there that he messed that up and that he can go back in time and fix it. I wonder if
absolutely some sense of regret, whether he would publicly say that or not. I think you're absolutely right there. Now, I don't know about the going back to fix it, because Brent, let's be honest, if you're at Ole Miss, if you're at Oxford right now with that roster and what you have and the excitement around your program now, and you've got DJ Metcalf and AJ Brown and, you know, those guys in the pros to show the talent and what you can become. If you come to Ole Miss and play in Oxford, and now you have an even more powerful offense to be able to do it in, if you're Lane Kiffin, are you leaving? I'm not, because I'm set up for a ton of success right now. Oh, and there's a Manning kid out there, by the way, who's in high school playing quarterback that is on the market somewhere to go to school.
That's exactly why I want a quarterback guy, because Arch Manning is who you're talking about. And that's going to be the most heavily recruited kid ever.
Yes.
I think that's interesting. I mean, there are NFL guys from every school that you can, you could sell Alvin Kamara from Tennessee. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. You could sell that, but he didn't do anything at Tennessee. Or he didn't do, I mean,
against Texas A&M.
I'm sorry. He didn't, it wasn't a consistent. Now you can put that on coaching staff, whatever, but
yeah,
it was not a consistent collegiate career.
So David Cloud, listener of 3HL, passed this along, a great tweet from Adam Smith. Vols hiring Kiffin after firing Fulmer again would restore the space-time continuum back to its rightful balance and erase the last 12 years of American history. All right, real quick, we're really late. Not that y'all care about that, but our boss does. John on Twitter, there's buzz around Tennessee that Eric Gray, Henry Toto, Darnell Wright, Quaveris Crouch, and others have expressed interest in entering the transfer portal. Austin Price retweeted that. It's going to get uglier before it gets better in Knoxville. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Final Four in the NFL. Alan Bell. Also, what are the odds of the next coach? Who has the best chance in terms of Vegas odds to be the next coach at Tennessee? Stay tuned. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Sometimes on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you. until 5:30 today. Tennessee at Florida. Vol Network coverage begins at that point. Tip-off scheduled for just after 6 o'clock. Get us on Twitter at 3HL1045, on Instagram 3HL, on Facebook 3HL. And now it's time to talk with our friend Alan Bell from Sportsline.com. And you can check him out on Twitter. Very entertaining follow, at AlanBell247. And last night, as I was getting into bed, AB, I saw a retweet that you posted from a basketball game with a late three that didn't need to be shot and the 8.5-point spread down by 7.
Brutal. First off, appreciate you guys having me back. Yeah. So let me set the stage for anybody who didn't see it. So you had Baylor and Kansas. All right. Baylor's an 8.5-point favorite. They're up 76-66 with literally a second left.
Oh, Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah. Kansas fires a three from half court. Means nothing to anything. Banks it, makes it, covers the spread. And the best part, and I implore anybody out there who hasn't seen it, go find the video. And if you look to the bottom right corner, there's a guy who's a Baylor fan. And as soon as that shot goes in, he loses his mind. You could tell he had money on Baylor as well. That was the absolute best part. He was furious.
Oh, that's outstanding. And I, you know, now that we're a legal sports wagering state, lots of people are paying attention to little things like that.
Absolutely. They're paying great attention. No, that was a horrible beat. I mean, the best part, and I always say, like, you guys have Todd Furman on, and, you know, I think the world of Todd. I think he's the best in the business. He tweeted out as soon as it came out, he just wrote, disgusting. Like, it was perfect. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I think we all notice those things a little bit more than we used to. NHL season has started. Can we bet the NHL? I know we can bet the NHL, but can we who have never bet the NHL bet the NHL successfully? You got any tips there?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, you look at the NHL right now. So understand, you know, you're betting either a spread, which is generally 1.5 goals, or you're just betting money line straight up. And favorites in the NHL right now are at about 61-62% clip, which is tremendous. Home favorites are at 70%. Like, that is an unbelievable number. So right now, keep an eye on that. It'll move at some point, but right now, home favorites, that's your play straight up.
Well, and maybe that is the play, honestly, with the way that they've set up the schedule with nothing but divisional games and these twofer deals. There are going to be a lot of back-to-backs at home and a lot of tired road teams on those second nights. We won't see that tonight with the Predators because that game has been postponed because of a COVID issue with regard to Carolina. But, yeah, I'm going to take a look at that. I don't feel great about it yet, AB, but I'll listen to you.
Well, I'll say this. Take a look at it, you know, and you don't have to place the bet. Just kind of place an imaginary bet, honestly, of like 5 games and just kind of track it. See how it works for you. You know what I mean? And you can do a lot of homework that way. But NHL is very, very profitable right now for sure.
Mo Dirt on Twitter, at Brent Doherty, that shot saved my parlay, LOL.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, see, absolutely, man. And, like, that's what makes it so fun is that at one moment on a shot that means nothing to anything with the game,
yeah,
you have half the people are just jubilant and going crazy, and the other half put an iPhone through a television, right? Like, it's just awesome.
Great for sports ratings in the state of Tennessee. I mean, how many people would have normally been watching Kansas Baylor?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You're paying attention to the end of the game for sure.
I love it. So Alan Bell 24/7 on Twitter with Sportsline.com. I noticed that Sportsline put out some odds for next Tennessee coach, even though there's no AD right now. AB, AB, do you want to be the AD at UT?
Let me say this, man. I would love to do it. Just the fact to turn this thing around. Like, there are some problems up there, and somebody's going to have to wrangle some boosters in. But, yeah, we've got some odds out. Billy Napier being the favorite at plus 300. And understand, this is to be the next full-time head coach. Like, they could go they could go Kevin Steele, you know, for an interim or an acting. But the next full-time, we got Billy Napier plus 300 as the favorite. Jamie Chadwell plus 400. Kevin Steele plus 500. Tom Herman plus 700. And Hugh Freeze plus 800. So – that's where you're at right now. But, yeah, Sportsline, we got those numbers out today.
Gus Malzahn on that list?
Gus Malzahn is on the list. He comes in at plus 1,200 just behind Bill Clark, who's at plus 1,000.
I love Bill Clark. Bill Clark is, like, he's literally your favorite coach that you've never heard of.
Absolutely.
And he's awesome.
Let me say this. This dude saved a program that didn't exist, and he did it by himself, right? Like, there's no other perfect human being for Tennessee right now than a guy like him, you know? But we'll see, man. I mean, I'm with you. I think the world of Bill Clark, the job that he's done at UAB has been tremendous.
You should hear his stories of, like, just basically from the ground up, like making visits and like just basically saying, you have to trust me that I will take care of you, that this is going to be something.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I'm with you. And I mean, that guy is not a guy who's going to swing through McDonald's. So let's just say that.
True.
Yeah. Have you ever been to McDonald's and found a bag of cash, Alan Bell?
No, usually I'm missing a McGriddle. I never find any extra money in there. Let me say that.
For those that don't know, Dan Patrick today said his source tells him Tennessee assistant coaches were handing out cash in McDonald's bags. That's why the litany of McDonald's jokes. And actually, McDonald's of Nashville tweeted, y'all think the recruits were mad because a Big Mac and fries weren't in the bag too?
That's a great tweet. And let me say this. The reason I don't believe it is this. Who went around collecting all the McDonald's bags? Like, they don't just give those out. You know what I mean? Like, the logistics of this don't make a lot of sense.
Okay, I didn't even think that deep into it, Alan Bell. Only you would think that deep into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
AB, I might put a few ducats into Gus Malzahn at plus 1,200.
I mean, that's a good number right there. And Gus Malzahn, I mean, for a guy to be sitting there that's done the winning that he has, man, that's a tremendous coach.
Lane Kiffin, not on your list, but Jeff Fisher is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we got Jeff Fisher down there at about plus 2,000. I don't know how fans would feel about the stash coming in. I personally would love it. I'm a big Jeff Fisher guy. But no Lane Kiffin. Yeah, I mean, it's just not the right time. He's doing his thing at Mississippi. I don't see any reason that he would go to Tennessee, at least right now.
Maitre V 615 on Twitter. Betting is so damn fun until it's not.
Yep. Yeah. Put that on. You know what? Tennessee fans, paint the rock. Paint that on the rock. Like, that is a testament right there. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the betting is so much fun until it's not. I look at this Kansas City game because of what happened to Patrick Mahomes. And now, okay, it's not a concussion. You expect him to play, you know, whatever. But how in the world do you go about betting this, not knowing what you're going to get out of Patrick Mahomes for Kansas?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first off, let's just be honest. Patrick Mahomes is going to play. Okay. I mean, the guy is going to play, barring some just, you know, supernatural disaster. The guy's going to play. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to take aliens or something. I mean, but then again, I mean, we have an inauguration going this week. Like, crazy stuff can happen. Who knows? But like, Mahomes is going to play. So looking at it, you say, okay, the line's probably only going to go one way, and it's going to go in the Chiefs' favor in terms of they're a 3-point favorite right now. You get good news, good news, good news. It's going to be Chiefs minus 3.5, Chiefs minus 4. So if you're looking to play the Chiefs, I'd go ahead and lock that 3 in right now. That's a nice key indicator number. If you see minus 2.5 pop up, double down on it. But yeah, I mean, that number is only going to go in the Chiefs' favor as the week goes along. So if you're playing them, do it now. If you're going to play Buffalo, you got time. Sit and wait, because you'll see a plus 3.5, maybe even a plus 4. By the time Sunday gets around.
I did notice that Action 24/7 is taking it at minus 2.5, which leads me down the Buffalo path. So if I'm on the Buffalo path, then I'll wait until the end of the week, right? And I do like Buffalo in this game, money line, straight up.
Oh, yeah. Like, here's the thing. I mean, you look at the Chiefs. Like, I know the spread's only 3, but think about this, honestly. The Chiefs haven't won a game by more than 6 points since week 8. Yeah. They haven't. They're 1-8 against the spread since week 9, the worst in the NFL. Like, they're good. Don't get me wrong. But they're not blowing teams out by any means. And I know we're talking about Patrick Mahomes' concussion issue. The toe issue kind of worries me more than that. Like, that's a real injury. And it might change the way that they play him in terms of running, in terms of the red zone. We saw him, run basically the option veer, you know, down there. And he's rushed for a touchdown in 3 straight playoff games. Like, that's a big factor of their playbook. If his toe is hurt, that might change just a little bit of it.
What are you thinking about the total at 53.5?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the weather's going to be cold. It could be windy. But these are two teams that have to score, and especially Kansas City, their defense is not necessarily going to win games. So they're going to have to put up points. Buffalo is going to have to put up points as well. So if you're looking at 53.5, I would play that over. You know, there's a limit to it. If it gets, you know, 56, 57, I mean, that's a ton of points. But both of these teams know what they have to do, and they both are driven by offense. So I wouldn't be scared to play the over on that.
Yeah, the weather, 48 degrees the high, 35 the low, with a 41% chance of rain, and the winds out of the north-northeast at 7 miles an hour. That's so as they're playing that game, temperature around 40 with strong winds, that's like Nashville winter, man. That's
Yeah, it really is. That's a good point, you know, and I wonder, you know, if wind does become a factor, you know, what does that do to the kicking game of what we've seen in the playoffs already? I mean, kicking has been a disaster. But both of these teams are built on the red zone. They're both so efficient. They put touchdowns on the board. I think we're going to see a pretty high scoring game.
Tampa Bay and Green Bay. We're talking with Alan Bell from Sportsline.com. Some of the numbers behind the numbers, Tampa Bay and Green Bay. So you've got Tom Brady and you've got Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers looks like he's having fun again. And he looks like he wants to win it all and then flip a bird at somebody, maybe everybody. I don't know. But yeah. Green Bay is favored by 3. What do you think about this matchup?
I mean, I love Green Bay. Like, honestly, like, you know, you look at what they've done. They've won 7 straight by 7-plus points. They've only allowed 18 or fewer points in each of their last 4 games. I mean, they're just playing the most efficient football that we've seen out of them. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers honestly looks like a dad playing dodgeball with his kids in the yard. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Like, I mean, literally, like, he creates a run game with his arm. He can, you know, put the ball on a dime down the field. Like, every single thing about him is literally at a career high right now. But let me say this. After saying all of that, the conference championship game has been the only bugaboo of Aaron Rodgers' career. He's lost 3 straight. Tom Brady's won 3 straight conference championship games. Does that have any play in this, Don? We talked about it last week, like which stats matter, which ones don't. This one might not have anything to do with anything. But this has been the one point in Aaron Rodgers' career that it hasn't been perfect for him. However, he's playing at home this time. The rest have been on the road.
So there's all this talk about Tom Brady has now been, you know, in warm weather. And he's been in Tampa long enough to where, you know, that this could affect him. How much does anybody take that into account when looking at that? Because I look at Tom Brady, I'm like, yeah, but he played for 20 freaking years in weather.
Yeah.
High of 30, chance of snow. That's
yeah. Let me say this. That's not going to affect Tom Brady whatsoever. I mean, this guy's played in the worst weather imaginable. And even if he hadn't, he would be prepared. The same thing that, you know, we heard the stories about Peyton Manning. He would dunk footballs in a bucket. Like, Tom Brady's the exact same preparation guy. But what does it do to the people around him? Because they haven't played in New England for 21 years in the cold, right? Yeah. What does it do to somebody like Godwin, who we've seen, you know, a wide receiver for Tampa Bay, who's had drop passes? What does it do to Antonio Brown? What does it do to Mike Evans, right? Like, what does it do to Leonard Fournette running the ball? Like, playoff Leonard Fournette has been a monster. But does the cold weather affect him? Like, that's the thing. I don't think it's going to affect Tom, but it could affect everyone else around him. So it is something to keep an eye on, just in terms of that.
What do you think about the total in that one?
51.5, I think, was the last.
Yeah,
somewhere around there. I mean, you know, it's tough, man, because
that's a tough number.
It's a tough number because here's the thing. You look at what Tampa's done. You know, we saw last week all their touchdowns came off turnovers. Well, you know, that's going to be pretty tough when Aaron Rodgers never does that, right? Like, he's not going to give you the ball, right? So they're going to have to go 80-yard drives, 75-yard drives. It's possible. Green Bay doesn't have a perfect defense, but they're playing pretty good football right now. So, you know, for me, I'm really not going to touch that total. I don't like it either way. I think points are going to be scored. But again, we go back to Green Bay. Green Bay's winning weird games. Green Bay's putting up their 30 points, but it's the other team that's, you know, scoring 13, 15, 16, 18. That's the hard part, is that we could project what Green Bay will do. I can't project what Tampa Bay's going to do.
Man, I hate that the betting football season is almost over, man. But I know you're going to have fun this weekend. Hey, if people have questions for you, at AlanBell247 on Twitter, you'll be glad to answer them.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys so much for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Sportsline.com, the website. Man, you want to talk about diving into the numbers? Go check that website out. Definitely do it. And then ask Alan Bell how you can get involved with Sportsline at AlanBell247. When we come back, pretty cool story here. Tate Pearson plays basketball for Belmont. His cousin, Dawson Knox, obviously still in the NFL playoffs. And Tate's been watching games on the bus in some situations. We'll talk with him for a few minutes when we come back and get a little angle to that story next on 104.5. 3HL on 104.5, the Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport. We like to shine the light on a lot of local sports angles. And Tate Pearson joins us now. Belmont guard, former BA stud athlete. Tate, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I want you to repeat what you said earlier that made me feel old during the break.
Yeah, I said I grew up a local kid and grew up listening to your show. So it's an honor to be on.
All right, I resign my position from that's an honor, man. Thank you very much. What is it like to play for Casey Alexander? It's kind of an intense dude, man.
He is, in the right way.
Yeah.
It's awesome, you know, coming from Coach Bird. He's very similar, little more defensive focused, but I love his energy. I love the gameplay that we play, the style. It's awesome, and it fits all of our players super well. So we love Coach Alexander.
Energy is a great word for him. Would you be surprised if I told you sometimes he'll text me if my energy level's not right for the show, and he'll text me if my energy level is great?
That does not surprise me at all.
So, not asking you to compare the coaches, but what do you see in him that is maybe reminiscent of Coach Bird? What are some of the similarities there?
That's a great question. For sure, the energy, and also just the values off the court. They have obviously very similar basketball styles. That's to be expected, but just as men and as people, they're very similar, very caring for the person that you are, beyond just basketball.
That's good similarity.
Absolutely.
Belmont's won 26 of its last 27. You've won 20 consecutive conference games. What's going on with you guys? What's led to this run?
Just consistency. The fact that we've been able to practice here for a few weeks without any COVID pauses, without any kind of major injuries. It's been incredible and such a blessing. So we've been able just to keep it rolling.
You hit the go-ahead three-pointer Saturday at Jacksonville State. Just kind of take us through that and where this team is maybe as far as hitting that stride.
Yeah, that was Coach called that play. It was an inbounds play, and had a great screen by freshman Jacoby, and luckily I hit it, and that was kind of a good turning point for us to keep rolling. And Jacksonville State's a great team. They're big, they're physical, and we knew getting one on the road was super important. So I feel like that's just a game that, you know, we're right here at the midpoint of our season. And that's just going to kind of spring us forward to the end, hopefully.
Does your mentality change at all this year in dealing with COVID and not knowing when there's going to be a random pause in maybe gratefulness for being out on the court? Like how has COVID changed your mentality as a college basketball player?
Absolutely. It's really just made us thankful. And, you know, we spent this summer apart, not knowing if we'd be able to come back together. It made you really appreciate the game and appreciate the guys when, you know, you weren't expecting it to be taken from you. We had the NCAA tournament taken from us last year, and that was a bummer. But really, it's just kind of motivated us and really given us a new love for the game, I guess you could say.
How challenging was it for you to go find your shots?
Whew, it was very challenging.
Yeah.
There was a local church with a pastor that Coach Alexander knows, and we were able to get in there and, you know, even though it was 6 a.m., we had to get in there and get out before the next crew came in, but that's where we got most of our shots. And so it was challenging for sure.
I love it. Shots in the church. A buddy of mine has a key to a church that has a gym. He doesn't even go to church there. I don't even know how that happened. But
how's that work?
I don't know, but I can relate to that. Like you're trying to find shots for in my case, my kids. Interesting storyline here is that your cousin is still playing in the NFL playoffs, Dawson Knox. Has it been tough to kind of follow games as you try to compete and complete your schedules?
It has. And going back to Saturday against Jacksonville State, our game was at 4. So we got on the bus about 6:30. Dawson kicked off at 7:15. So it was perfect time. And I had all the guys up on the bus. No one didn't let anyone fall asleep. So we got to watch the majority of the game on the bus. But I mean, there's one time we missed one game last week. And I had to go back and rewind it to see all his catches and all his good plays. But it's so awesome. And Dawson has such an incredible story and such a great person. So I'm so thankful for the success that he and the Bills are having.
He's so much fun. We've had him on the show a couple of times, like right after he got drafted as well. And for those that don't know, just kind of what have you seen from him from a work ethic standpoint that had apparently y'all's whole family is athletic here, but from a work ethic standpoint, that kid, man.
Right. And like you said, our family's got some good genes. My sister played at Samford. Dawson's younger brother is at Ole Miss, and his sister actually just signed with Auburn for women's soccer. So we've got a streak going of Division I athletes. But honestly, the work ethic for Dawson, I mean, hasn't really changed since he was a kid. He's always been such a competitor and you know, worked so hard. And so it's so great just to see him come into that and find some success.
Belmont guard Tate Pearson with us on 3HL. Take us back real quick before we let you go to the days at Brentwood Academy, and you guys were rolling around the basketball court. Let everyone in on some of the guys that were on that team your junior and senior year.
Sure. First and foremost, we had Darius Garland, a point guard. Went to Vandy, played a few games there, and now is a Cleveland Cavalier starting. Yeah. I mean, that just speaks for itself. He's so incredible. Everything that he does, he was a gym rat too. He was always in the gym working on his game. Jeremiah Oatesball, who played quarterback at Austin Peay and is now transferring to Memphis to play some more football. Cam Johnson, Vandy standout wide receiver. Gavin Schoenwald, Vandy tight end.
Yep.
I mean, we had Ole Miss offensive tackle, UT offensive tackle the year before. It was so much fun. We obviously saw some success, but those guys are so awesome.
Brandon Wright pretending to be younger and nobody caught it.
right.
So how many, you are also an all-state track star, and I know Cam Johnson, I think he had with between individual and team state titles. I think he was at maybe 7 or 8 or maybe 9. I don't know. But how many state titles did you end up leaving BA with?
I ended up with 6.
Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous.
A lot. Thanks to Cam. We both hurdled together, three track and 3 basketball. So,
wow.
There you go. That's nice. Nice.
Well, Tate, always love visiting with our Belmont friends. 14-1, 8-0 in conference play. Keep it up, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys.
All right. Tate Pearson from Belmont, at Tate_Pearson. Get him on Twitter. Really checking those Brentwood Academy teams, man, back in the day.
Ridiculous.
Football, basketball, and track, obviously. Man. When we come back, we'll get you caught up on headlines. What's the latest in Knoxville? There's always something going on, like 5 minutes at a time. We'll hit you with that next on 104.5.